In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 18, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment have taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have today to bow our heads and call you our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for the reality of being saved and know that we're saved. I praise your name for that. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in the past week. I thank you for every message, every service. I thank you for every heart you touched, every life you challenged, everything you did in my own heart, my own life. I praise your holy name. Thank you, God, for the meeting. I praise you and thank you. I pray you bless Brother Chris Grinstead today in the church where he pastors, and use him mightily and fill him with the power of God, and take that young man and use him. We praise you and thank you. Then I thank the Lord of our people, and I pray for Brother Frank Deal right now. I ask in Jesus' name, God, that you guide the doctors and those that wait upon him. I pray, give them wisdom, understanding. Let them know what to do to help him physically. And I pray that divine touch of God be with him and watch over him and care for him. Lord, whatever's happened to him, I pray for that divine touch of God according to your will and for your glory. Then, Father, I pray now you'd help us here in this house. There's people here today that need to get saved. There's folk in the house of God that need to get right. And, Father, we just need you to help us preach. And I pray for that divine touch of God be upon us. Lord, I confess to you, I need you. I need you in a special way. And I pray in Jesus' name for a touch of the power of God. Lord, touch my mind, my heart, my very being. Let me preach with power. And we'll thank you and praise you in everything that you do. Speak to hearts, rebuke the devil, plead the blood. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. I want us to think today about three considerations. We're looking at verse number 20 for part of it, and then verse number 22 for the rest of it. But three things I want to consider today. And as we come out of revival and come out of, I pray we don't come out of revival. We're out of the meeting. Brother Chris went back to Atlanta, Cummings. He went back to his church where he pastors, but we're still here. And I pray if real revival came, my heart and your heart, then it will continue today. It'll continue tonight. It'll continue this week. And it will continue on. And so I'm looking for that. But in context here, Jeremiah, of course, is known as that weeping prophet. And they're going into captivity. And here he is, and he's crying about the hurt of his people. He's hurting for his own people. He has preached to them. He has cried to them the truth. He has told them about things that are happening and why it's happening. And his heart's broken over it. And then he makes some statements here in this chapter that I think would be appropriate for this time. And Brother Chris mentioned understanding the times. And, of course, we understood when he got through preaching that he's talking about understanding that we're living in the times that we are living in, the grace age, the church age, the time that God's still saving, God's still calling out, God's still doing. But it's going to end one day. And just like a revival meeting, as far as Brother Chris's part was, came to an end on Friday night, and not revival, but his part. I came to end. There will be a day when it will come to an end as far as this times that we're living in. And so understand the times. I hope if you wasn't here and didn't hear that, you missed a real blessing. I hope you get a CD of it and listen to it. But we need to understand the times. And all I can do is echo amen. I can't re-preach what he preached, but simply say we're living in the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ may come today. And if he doesn't come today, I'll look for him tomorrow. But Jesus is coming back. And thinking about that and thinking about, and here in verse number 20 it says, the harvest is past. The summer's ended and we are not saved. And I got to thinking about that. And even, and literally in our season that we're in, fall is here. I know we got a warm day today, had a warm day yesterday, but summer is over with. And fall and winter time's coming. There's going to be some cold days coming ahead. And there'll be some times you'll find out it's winter time. And you'll put that big coat and put it on. You know, something's changed. And I want you to know that someday it's going to change. Boy, what an opportunity this week we had to worship God, to get in. What an opportunity for people to get saved. Brother Tony down here got saved one night. And I say hallelujah. I praise God for that. I thank God for every person that bowed around this altar and they got something from God. I bowed right down there. I got something from God. God helped me. I say hallelujah and praise his name. I thank God for it. But one day it's going to be over. One day it's going to cease and the harvest will be past. And so I want to talk about three things today, and I'll try not to keep you too long. Of course, when you hear preaching, somebody said one time, two kind of preachers make me want to preach. Good preaching and bad preaching. And we had good preaching this week. Makes me want to preach. It does make me want to preach, but it makes me also tremble because that responsibility falls here on me today to preach following up this meeting. But I pray God to help us look at it and think about what God's saying to us here this morning. And because of the season that we're in. And thank God we're still in the harvest season. Amen. I'm glad. Now over here in verse 20 said the harvest is past. And one day it will be past. It will simply come to a close. Everybody in this house, I said everybody in this house is either saved or lost. Everybody in this house is either going to heaven or going to hell. Everybody in this house either knows Jesus Christ personally or they do not know him personally. If the rapture came right now, Jesus stepped out, the shout may come up hither. Everybody in this house would either go or either stay. One or the other. So there's basically two classes of people. Now, there's three classes, really. There are those that are saved, those not saved. Of those that are saved, there are those who have had revival. God's really done something for them. They're excited. They've moved up the notch. It's like Brother Mark said down here, God did something for him. Sometimes we think about what the church needs, and I'm guilty of that. And I say guilty of it. It's a good thing to think what the church needs. But you can also be so thinking about what the church needs that you miss what you need. And then you can be thinking about what other people need, and that's a good thing in the right kind of way. We like everybody to get on in on it, as Brother Mark said, but sometimes we miss what we need. And I don't want to miss what I need, because if I don't get what I need, others won't get what they need, and the church won't get what it needs. And boy, we've been getting it this week. I mean, we've been getting what we needed. I've been getting what I needed. You've been getting what you needed. And church has been getting what they needed. Church as a whole needed. And I say hallelujah for all of it. But let's think about it tonight. Tonight, today, whatever time it is. It's going to be over one day. And this harvest. But I want to talk about the harvest. Because today, I'm glad today that you can still be saved. Today you can still come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And so we're talking about this season. We're talking about the law of the harvest for a few minutes. Turn with me, please, in the book of Matthew chapter 9. The book of Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to give you several things, and I'll try to do it quickly, not spend too much time on each one, but I want you to get it. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. It's talking about Jesus now. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Now, number one, the law of the harvest is plenteous. There's a lot of it. There's no lack of the harvest. There had been time when people planted the crop, and because of a drought or something, it didn't have much of a harvest. They planted corn, but the rain didn't come, and the season was bad. When it come time to harvest, there wasn't much corn there. And they didn't get much of a harvest. And so the harvest wasn't ready. That's not true in the spiritual realm. The harvest truly is plenteous today. It's white unto harvest. In fact, the Bible says already the grain is turning white. And it's ripe and overripe. And so the harvest is great. And there's plenty of it. And you say, preacher, I don't know if anybody's unsaved. Then you got your eyes closed, your ears closed, your mind closed. The harvest is plenteous. But notice what else he said. Then saith he in Simon, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I say amen and amen. Laborers are few. That most everybody knows anything about today, anything about Christianity, anything about being saved, will say the harvest is plenteous. But then you look around, the laborers are few. Those who really care, who put themselves into the labor to see people get saved and labor in the harvest field. But look at verse number 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest. And I remember one time Brother Stinnett Ballou was here, and he made this statement that stuck with me. He said, as far as he knew, and I echo that, as far as I know, this is the only prayer request Jesus ever made. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the field. And that's another law that we need to do, is pray for laborers. But notice what else he said. Send them into his harvest. And so another law of the harvest is, it's his harvest. It's not my harvest. It's not Brother Chris Grinstead's harvest. It's not this church's harvest. It is the Lord's harvest. It's his field that we labor in. And so as we look at it and think about it, it is the Lord that loves you. It is the Lord that cares for you. It is the Lord that wants to save you. It's the Lord that wants you right with him. It's the Lord that wants you involved in the laboring. And so we need to see that in the Word of God. In Mark chapter 13, we won't take time to turn there and read that, but here's another thing that happened about the law of the harvest is that not all the seed that planted will come up. Not all will be harvested. There are some that it tells about in chapter 13, it tells about those who have heard, but they didn't hear, didn't sink in. And he used an illustration, he said, it's like sowing a seed. And he said in another place, the seed is the word of God. And so the seed said some fell by the wayside, and the birds came by and ate it, and it was gone. The devil steals it away, and it doesn't produce anything. Brother Bill, not all the preaching you do in a prison is going to produce something, because some's going to fall out there, and the devil's going to steal it away. And then said some fell on stony ground, and it sprung up but didn't have any root, and it didn't amount to anything because it wasn't rooted right, and so it died. And that's how some folk are. They hear, and they may act like they're interested, or they may make up a fact. They don't have any root. They don't last any time. They wilt away. And then some fall among thorns. And said the springs up, but the thorns choke it out. And it dies because the other things around it choked it out. But there are some that fell on good ground. It brought forth fruit. Amen. And produce something in it. I'm glad, praise God, some do get saved. Some professions are false. Some's not really true. Some don't really get saved. Some don't really come to know Christ. But thank God there are some that do. And those that do, they make it. When God does a saving, they'll make it. Amen. When God saves, he saves forever. And just keeps on working. And keeps on doing what he does. And I say, praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad when I sow the seed, not everything I sow is going to produce, but God will take some of it and it will produce something. But that brings up another interesting thought. If we don't sow enough, we're not going to get any harvest. Because it may be falling by the wayside. It may be falling on rocks. It may be falling on hard hearts. It may be falling where the thorns are. But thank God there's some good ground. Somebody will come in sometime in church and their heart's so hard and cold like a rock and it just don't take any root. And some by the wayside don't pay any attention. But some comes in and they're hungry for something. They know they need something from God. They know they need something. And they hear preaching and the Holy Ghost takes it and sinks it deep in their heart and it does produce. Hey, some you witnessed to on the job, Brother Bob, that you tell about Jesus and hand them a tract. Hey, some of them are hard-hearted. I don't know. They won't listen to it, and they'll probably throw the tract away. But they somebody that'll sit down somewhere and read that tract, and God will get a hold of their heart, and God will do something for them. Hallelujah. It's worth passing them out for that one that's going to get it. Amen. Somebody said, well, I passed out a tract, but they throw it in the trash. They may do it, but somebody somewhere, somebody may even pick it up out of the trash can and read it. I'm glad God can get it out somewhere. I had somebody tell me one time some months ago about being in a motel, and they picked up and looking in a rack they had there and found a tract from Gateway Baptist Church. Somebody had left. I said, hallelujah, somebody left one somewhere. You never know when you leave a tract who's going to get it and what it's going to mean to them. Or when you give a word of testimony and they know you're a Christian, they find out you are. I'm talking about the season. We're in a season of sowing and reaping. Amen. And the harvest is almost over. It's about through. But we've got to keep sowing so we can keep reaping. And because it's soon going to be over. Harvest is past. Summer's ended. And so we need to think about that. Now, let me show you something else here. I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Just a little bit more about this harvest. Look at verse number 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't save anybody. Brother Grinstead can't save anybody. And Brother Tommy Steele can't save anybody. Brother Joe Arthur can't save anybody. But Jesus can. And he uses men to preach the word of God. And he brings people under conviction. But he uses you as a witness, as a laborer in the field, to pass out a tract or give a witness, invite to church, whatever you do, and does what he does with it. But God gives the increase. Give God the glory. Verse number 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Now God gives the increase, that's another law of the harvest, but he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We are laborers together. And every man shall receive his reward in his own, according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We are laborers together with God. And I can't get over that. That God has allowed us to labor with him. It's his harvest field. I remember as a young boy, I worked for my uncle a whole lot on a farm. And we lived on a small farm, but not enough, didn't have big crops or anything like that, just had a cow and some pigs and chickens and that kind of thing. But my uncle had a dairy farm, and in summertime he'd need help, and I'd work for him, and my uncle was special to me, and I appreciated him because he let me work. He let me get out there with him. And we had a good time doing it, but he talked to me, and he was a Christian man, and I didn't ever hear him cuss. I didn't hear anything out of him except about the Lord going to church and working hard. We worked hard and had a good time, but he let me labor in his field. And then at the end of the week, he sat down and said, now, Ray, how many hours have you worked? And we'd start figuring up me and him together and get together, and he'd pay me for it. And I thought, my soul, I get to be with him. I get to enjoy the fellowship. I get to enjoy working and learning something from him and learning some ethics and work ethics and learning things. But he's going to pay me for it. Hallelujah. I'm a laborer in God's field, and he's going to pay me for it. I can't get over that. I mean, I get to work with him out there in the field. I'm laboring with him. And then at the close of the day, when the harvest is over, it's all done and said, he is going to pay me. Amen. He said he rewarded us for our works, did he not? I'm not working to get reward. I'm working because I love the Lord Jesus. But he said he would pay me. He said he would reward me one day. I believe the greatest reward we will have in heaven is when we see those come by who have been saved because we preached the word of God, or we shouted a tract, or we gave a witness, we invited to church and had a part in somebody getting right with God. I say hallelujah. I praise God for the reality of that truth. Amen. I love it and I thank God for it. But I got to get off this law of the harvest. I won't finish up the rest of it, but I'm just telling you, it's a law of the harvest. But I want you to notice this in our text in verse number 20. The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we are not saved. Now here's the sad part. Someday it's going to be over with and people won't be saved. Somebody asked me in Sunday school class a while ago, will there be anybody saved in tribulation period? There will be people saved, but not people that have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and God spoke to their hearts and they refused knowingly, refused to be saved. God said in 2 Thessalonians, he said he'd turn them over with a reprobate mind, let them believe a lie, that they might be damned because they would not believe the truth. Did you know today, if the rapture took place right now and we left out of here, there'd be people sitting here that's not saved, and they'd be left. You say, well, if I'm getting left, I just cry out to God to save me. You won't unless the Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of you. If God sends you strong delusion all of a sudden, you won't know what's happened. You'll be in a daze. You won't know a bit more what's happened than that dog sitting out there on a tree does. And you'll be wondering what in the world. But I'm glad, praise God, you can get saved because you're this side of the summer and you're this side of the harvest ending. Thank God we're still gleaning the fields. We're still gleaning out there like Ruth did. And I'm glad, praise God, God's still saving sinners. God's still saving sinners, but it's going to be over with. But I want you to notice this. The sin of it is that people reject. Now, we talked about the season. The sin is we're not saved. We're not right with God. And we need to get right. We need to get saved. Jesus, in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that thirst come. Whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. That's a good invitation, isn't it? And it said, whosoever will. Anybody that will can come and be saved. Brother Tony, a night when you got saved, you got a whosoever will. I noticed him the next night. I looked at him, and he had a smile on his face. I'm not real sure, but I believe it's the first time I ever saw him smile. Now, I only God can do that. That's for a Yankee. I'm kidding about the Yankee part. I know I wasn't either. I'm glad God saved Yankees. I'm glad God saved us. I'm glad God saves Yankees or Southerners or anybody else. I'm glad God saves whosoever will, let him come and take the warm life. But God did that. You know how he got in on it? I don't know all about all of his life. I just know he needed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And how he got in? Just because Jesus said, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll help you. He's the one that does it. I can't do it, but Jesus did. Brother Chris couldn't do it, but Jesus did. I say glory, hallelujah, amen. Aren't you glad? Praise God. I remember Al Clark. I remember a day I went to visit him in the hospital. He'd been shot, and they didn't know where he was going to live or die. He said, preach, if I live, I'll come to church. I'd heard that before. And I thought, well, I hope he does. And I tried to talk to him a little bit, had prayer and left. Well, he lived, got better, came to church. God, the Holy Ghost got a hold of him and got saved. I say, hell, how'd he get in? Whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him come. Amen. And he got in. But if you won't, you won't get in. And if you're not willing to listen, you're not willing to obey, you're not willing to take a step of faith and believe God, you say, preacher, I don't know what to do. You're a good candidate for salvation. If you knew what to do, you'd try to do something in yourself and it wouldn't be right. Well, I didn't know what to do either. I just cried to God, save me. Because it wasn't anything I could do. I'd tried that doing better. I'd tried that getting better. I'd tried that not cussing. I'd tried that not doing this, not doing that. I'd tried tithing. I tried all that. But that didn't satisfy the longing in my heart. But when I got saved, I just cried out to God to save me. And God saved me by his marvelous grace. I took a step of faith and just believed what God said. Amen. Got saved, born in the family of God, been a new creature ever since. I say hallelujah. But if you won't do that, God won't save you. If you believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, believe it in your heart, God said he'd save you. And whosoever will, let him come. And so it's whosoever will. But then we that are saved, we need to let God have his way. Now we got challenged tonight, and I may say more about that later, but we got challenged about going on with God. We got challenged about when God breathes through. We got challenged about going ahead and praising God and letting God have his way. We got challenged about that. If God helped us, if God really gave us revival in our hearts, it'll show up on us as sure as the world. It'll come out. And so I pray that we let God help. Now, I praise God for the preaching. I loved every message that was preached. God challenged my heart, convicted my heart, encouraged my heart. He did all that for me. But I don't want to quit just because Brother Chris is gone. I want that to continue on because God has done something, is doing something in my life. And so, but let's look at the Savior. Verse number 22. Well, back up to verse 19. Verse 19. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in far country. Now, we know the times. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not a king in her? He's saying, is not the king in Zion? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and strange vanities? So why they got all these strange vanities for? And why they get so wrapped up in this world? And why they let everything bother them from serving me? Why have they done what they've done? Then verse number 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no medicine? Is there no help? That balm in Gilead is said by many scholars to be used especially for snake bites. You remember that brazen serpent over there in the wilderness? As they look to hit, they get healed. A type of judgment, Jesus Christ hanging on a cross. And is there no balm? Is there no Savior? Is there not one that can save sinners? Is there not one that can take people and make them new? Is there not one that can revive hearts and stir life? Is there not somebody that can help us in this day? Is there not one there that can help us? I say amen. There. Then why are we not revived? Why are we not stirred? Why are we not saved? If we're not, if we are, then hallelujah, praise God. Go ahead and have yourself a spell anytime you want to. But praise God. But if you didn't get it, if you didn't get in on it, if your heart's not been changed, if you have not been stirred, why not? There is a balm in Gilead. There's help. There's a Jesus Christ that is still helping sinners that'll come. He'll still save everybody that will come to get saved. He'll still revive every heart that wants to be revived. I guess it's Brother Blake. Somebody gave me a paper about Leonard Ravenhill, and I've read those before, but it reminded me of it, and some of them are still, and we got some things still in the bulletin about revival, because I want revival to continue on. But one of the reasons we don't have revival is because we don't want revival. If we don't want it, we won't get it. Satisfied where we are, you'll never get anything from God. It's when you're not satisfied with where you are. I'm talking about where you are spiritually. Just not satisfied where you are spiritually. Let God do something for you. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, today people here in this house, unsaved, need to get saved. There's folk here today that they don't know. They just don't know Jesus. They may be a church member, they may not. They may have made professions, they may not. But they're not saved. They need Jesus. And I pray the Holy Spirit, God, bring that conviction that only you can do. Then I pray for those who are saved, but yet something in their life has changed things. The joy is not there. They've not really had revival in their own hearts. They've not really cried out to God, restore the joy of thy salvation. And I pray today, God, they cry to you. And I pray the unsaved to come to you. And they'd make that cry, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. Lord, over this house today, I pray that you speak to hearts. You have your way. You magnify yourself. And help us that have been revived and stirred, that we'll keep on praying for sinners. And keep on praying for those that need help. And keep on asking you to help us be laborers in the field that we ought to be. Help us in this invitation, Lord, it's yours. We bow our heads humbly. Ask God your will be done. There's some folk God would love to see come. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.